I don't remember making a U-turn. The next thing I recall is swimming quite slowly back along the passage and telling myself, "Don't hurry. Your air will last longer if you take it easy." I could see very well now because my eyes had had plenty of time to become dark adapted. There were lots of details I'd never noticed before, like the red squirrel fish lurking in the shadows, the green fronds and algae growing in the little patches of light around the portholes, and even a single rubber boot, apparently in excellent condition, lying where someone must have kicked it off. And once, out of a side corridor, I noticed a big grouper staring at me with bulbous eyes, his thick lips half parted, as if he was astonished at my intrusion. The band around my chest was getting tighter and tighter. It was impossible to hold my breath any longer. Yet the stairway still seemed an infinite distance ahead. I let some bubbles of air dribble out of my mouth. This improved matters for a moment, but once I had exhaled, the ache in my lungs became even more unendurable. Now, there was no point in conserving strength by flippering along with that steady, unhurried stroke. I snatched the ultimate few cubic inches of air from my face mask, feeling it flatten against my nose as I did so, and swallowed them down into my starving lungs. At the same time, I shifted gear and drove forward with every last atom of strength. And that's all I remember, until I found myself spluttering and coughing in the daylight, clinging to the broken stub of the mast. The water around me was stained with blood, and I wondered why. Then, to my great surprise, I noticed a deep gash in my right calf. I must have banged into some sharp obstruction, but I'd never noticed it, and even then felt no pain. That was the end of my skin diving, until I started astronaut training 10 years later, and went into the underwater zero-G simulator. Then it was different because I was using scuba gear. But I had some nasty moments that I was afraid the psychologists would notice, and I always made sure that I got nowhere near emptying my tank. Having nearly suffocated once, I'd no intention of risking it again. I know exactly what it will feel like to breathe the freezing wisp of near vacuum that passes for atmosphere on Mars. No, thank you. So, what's wrong with poison? Well, nothing, I suppose. The stuff we've got takes only 15 seconds, they told us. But all my instincts are against it, even when there's no sensible alternative. Did Scott have poison with him? I doubt it. And if he did, I'm sure he never used it. I'm not going to replay this. I hope it's been of some use, but I can't be sure. The radio has just printed out a message from Earth, reminding me that transit starts in 2 hours, as if I'm likely to forget, when 4 men have already died so that I can be the first human being to see it, and the only one for exactly 100 years. It isn't often that Sun, Earth, and Mars line up neatly like this. The last time was in 1905, when poor old Lowell was still writing his beautiful nonsense about the canals and the great dying civilization that had built them. Too bad it was all delusion. I'd better check the telescope and the timing equipment. The sun is quiet today, as it should be anyway. Near the middle of the cycle, just a few small spots and some minor areas of disturbance around them. The solar weather is set calm for months to come. That's one thing the others won't have to worry about on their way home. I think that was the worst moment, watching Olympus lift off Phobos and head back to Earth, even though we'd known for weeks that nothing could be done. That was the final closing of the door. It was night, and we couldn't see everything perfectly. Phobos had come leaping up out of the west a few hours earlier, and was doing its mad backward rush across the sky, growing from a tiny crescent to a half-moon. Before it reached the zenith, it would disappear as it plunged into the shadow of Mars and became eclipsed. We'd been listening to the countdown, of course, trying to go about our normal work. It wasn't easy. Accepting at last the fact that 15 of us had come to Mars and only 10 would return. Even then, I suppose, there were millions back on Earth who still could not understand. They must have found it impossible to believe that Olympus couldn't descend a mere 4,000 miles to pick us up. The Space Administration had been bombarded with crazy rescue schemes. Heaven knows we'd thought of enough ourselves. But when the permafrost under Landing Pad 3 finally gave way and Pegasus toppled, that was that. It still seems a miracle that the ship didn't blow up when the propellant tank ruptured. Oh, I'm wandering again. Back to Phobos and the countdown. On the telescope monitor, we could clearly see the fissured plateau where Olympus had touched down after we'd separated and begun our own descent. Though our friends would never land on Mars, at least they'd had a little world of their own to explore. Even for a satellite as small as Phobos, it worked out at 30 square miles per man. A lot of territory to search for strange minerals and debris from space. Or to carve your name so that future ages would know that you were the first of all men to come this way. The ship was clearly visible as a stubby, bright cylinder against the dull gray rocks. From time to time, some flat surface would catch the light of the swiftly moving sun and would flash with mirror brilliance. But about 5 minutes before liftoff, the picture became suddenly pink, then crimson, then vanished completely as Phobos rushed into eclipse. The countdown was still at 10 seconds when we were startled by a blast of light. For a moment we wondered if Olympus had also met with catastrophe. Then we realized that someone was filming the takeoff, and the external floodlights had been switched on. During those last few seconds, I think we all forgot our own predicament. We were up there aboard Olympus, willing the thrust to build up smoothly and lift the ship out of the tiny gravitational field of Phobos and then away from Mars for the long fall sunward.